Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Grant Napier Show.
This is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
This team, there he is again. My goodness.
Doug Christie, what a pass. Men against boys.
The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
Crouches, gets a step to the baseline. Drive. Oh, with the right hand. Oh, boy.
Now, Grant Napier.
Back in studio after the 1 hour and 12 minute flight from Salt Lake City last night. We start off talking about that, and then we got so many other topics that we have to get into today. But I really like what I saw from the Kings, especially on offense. I mean, there's no doubt they're going to score, and they're going to score on most nights. The defense in spots looks good, but it will get better. Again, this is a new unit. It will get better. Plus, Corey Joseph's not playing, and that's his forte, Doug, when he comes into the game as a backup point guard. And Trevor Ariza's not playing, and, you know, Harry Giles isn't playing. It will get better. It will get better. But, boy, there were a lot of positives in the game at Salt Lake City last night.
There absolutely were, Grant. And one of them is there's been many times when the Kings got a team would go on a run on the Kings, and they kind of got this dazed look, and all of a sudden they would allow a team to go on a big run on them. And something similar happened at the end of the third quarter, a 13-3 run to close the third by the Utah Jazz. But before that, when Fox went out, there was a 10-minute spurt there where the Kings went on a 18-10 run, which I thought was impressive with Bogey taking over at the point guard position. But last night, every time that the Jazz responded or the Jazz tried to do something, the Kings responded to that, and I was pleasantly surprised. Defensively, I like the effort that the Kings are getting. Is there some areas and attention to detail? Yes, there is. Again, the ability to score the basketball is something that is huge for the Sacramento Kings, and I think it's going to be a strength of theirs. But I think at one point, I want to say it was 32-12 or something like that, and it was the bench points, Grant. That is a huge area. I have to look up what the final was, but the Sacramento Kings bench is going to be vastly superior to a lot of teams on a lot of nights, and I really think that it's going to be a way that the Kings win a lot of ball games.
Coming up at 4 o'clock today, we will talk NFL football with Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox, so keep that in mind. The Yankees and Astros are currently playing, and the crew chief and the home plate umpire Jeff Nelson took two foul balls off his mask, and he's had to leave the game. You and I are very close with a major league umpire who has had concussions. Yes. And has been knocked off his feet from foul balls. It happens. It happens more than I think a lot of fans realize. It's not easy being a home plate umpire, not only calling balls and strikes, but the rigors of getting beat up back there, which happens to a lot of umpires.
Yeah, well, also being in the squat position like that for so much time, yep, long games, different things like that, it is a tough job. So hope that he's okay, because concussions, those the balls, we talk about exit velocity and things like that, and those things get up to 100 and plus. So you imagine, that's probably, well, I'd say 6 feet. A ball is traveling off of a bat, and it's hitting you right in the face. That can jar your head back in a serious way.
All right. The big news occurred while you and I were doing the game. Well, I was doing the game with Gary Gerald. You were watching the game next to me. And it had to do with LeBron James, who's back in the mainland, back in the United States after being over in China for the NBA China Games. He addressed the situation involving Daryl Morey, the protesters in Hong Kong. This is what he said if you missed it last night.
You know, when you're misinformed or you're not educated about something, and I'm just talking about, you know, the tweet itself, you know, you never know the ramifications that can happen. And, you know, we all seen what that did. Not only did for our league, but for all of us in America, for people in China as well. And sometimes you have to think through things that you say that may cause harm, not only for yourself, but for the majority of people.
Now, LeBron has since backtracked. But the reality is it's very difficult to call somebody that's been educated at MIT and Northwestern uneducated on a topic. Now, I'm not speaking for Daryl Morey, and I'm not going to speak for LeBron James. What I am going to say is this continues, and I have to keep this to a sports element based on my philosophy of doing the show every day. There is major political ramifications here, and to ignore that would be naive and stupid, so I'm not doing that. But as it pertains to the league and the NBA, this is not good for the league. And I'll just say from my opinion, and I'll and if you disagree, then that's fine. LeBron James had several days to think about what he was going to say, knowing full well he was going to get asked about this. And that's the way he answered the question. I mean, what on earth? I'm shocked. I mean, I'm not surprised. When I saw the comments after the game, when I got off the radio with G-Man, I thought I misread it at first. I was like, this can't be. He can't. I just can't believe it. I'm just blown away. I really am.
Wow. There's a lot of places to go with this. And, you know, the problem is you talk about the ramifications and all the different things. You just in so many different ways, you got to be careful. I would agree with you. LeBron has been so well read, and the things that he said have been spot on in a lot of different areas. In this particular one, I don't know.
He dropped the ball. I know he dropped the ball. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
And again, I'd hate to be in his shoes as the quote-unquote superstar of the league, because let's face it, he is the league. He is the True. Number one guy. He's the number one. He's the marquee guy in the league.
Right.
And I understand that it would probably – he would get killed if he said, I'm not going to comment on it. People do want to hear a comment. I just wish –
You can't comment either way and not get killed.
But he made two brutal mistakes here.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Okay.
Talking about – the lack of knowledge for Daryl Morey on this topic. And number two, when he inferred and put out, you know, couldn't the tweet waited for a week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a huge mistake that he made there.
Yeah. It's not a good look all the way around. Everything that's come from this has not been good for the NBA, for whoever has said whatever they've said. It's been bad.
Have you seen the pictures from Hong Kong since his comments?
No.
All right.
This is
unbelievable. They are trampling LeBron James jerseys in the street, okay? Protesters cheered when a ball was dropped into a basket after smashing into a photo of LeBron's face above the hoop. And again, I understand that many times there are knee-jerk reactions and that's not necessarily the feelings of all. But what I am saying is this continues to be a real issue for the NBA. And I'm not even getting into the political ramifications. I've talked about this. Nobody had any issues last month when the world was playing basketball in China. I didn't hear one word about any issues with China in relations to humanitarian or whatever. Okay,
anything.
I didn't hear that. Mm-hmm. You know, at the Olympics. Here's the other deal.
We're
2 years away from the Winter Olympics being in Beijing.
Right?
Could you imagine? And again, I can't predict the future any more than you can. Could you imagine the ramifications if this thing continues to snowball and get ugly, as it relates to countries going to Beijing for the Winter Olympics in 2020?
You know, I would have to think that it's going to in some shape, form, or fashion, Grant, because now we've added business and we've added the political aspect of it together. And that's been something that everyone has pretty much stayed away from, because you name somebody, they do business in China. I mean, name a company. And that has been something that's been stayed away from. And now that it's been delved in, it's on the NBA's docket. And this is something that I agree with you. There could be ramifications all the way into 2022.
The reality is, from an NBA perspective, and I'm not even going to get in again to the other issues, which are plentiful, and we'll leave that for another show. The best thing for the NBA right now, because the United States is not China, and China is not the United States, and we know this. You know, what we believe here in this country is not necessarily what other countries believe and how they live their lives, and that's just the way it is. That's reality, and if you think you can change the world, then run for office and change the world. I always said that, mm-hmm. All right? Just run for office and try to change the world. The NBA right now, the best thing for them to do is start their season and just move on and hopefully let this thing simmer.
I would – that's – the fact that the season is starting, I agree, because it's going to take fans' attentions to the actual game as opposed to all these ancillary things that are going on. And that's not saying that humanitarianism and all that stuff isn't important, because it absolutely is.
But it's
is.
Many other issues around the world. They have the exact same problems.
And you're going, when you become global and you start dealing outside, you face these type of problems. It just hasn't happened because most companies hadn't gotten involved in the political aspect or made a comment of such. And this one comment, six or seven words, has caused a storm that I think will last for quite some time, Napes.
And as I keep it to sports and the NBA, the possible ramifications to players' salaries. Sacramento.
Oh,
all right, so let's talk about this real quickly. The Kings have until next week to either give Buddy Hield an extension or wait until the end of the year where he would be a restricted free agent and see what happens.
Yes.
Now, if I'm a free agent right now, if I'm Buddy Hield, all right, or I'm using him as an example just because we're in Sacramento and he's one of the players. There are many more that are waiting for an extension, not just Buddy. I got to say to myself, you know what? Based on what's going on in China and the economic impact that could have for our league, and the fact that projections are that the NBA salary cap may go down by 10 or 15%.
Right.
So if I'm a free agent right now, and let's just say that it's 10%.
Okay.
I'm not going to make next year, okay? I'm not going to get an offer in all likelihood. I'm not going to get that same offer that I would get right now.
It's going to be 10% less.
That's correct.
I mean, in theory.
In theory.
Absolutely.
Well, because the pie is less. And now if you're a team, I thought I was going to have the pie now instead of 100% is 90%. I'm just using
So if you actually signed a contract prior to that, contract is actually worth more.
That's correct.
Of the cap.
That's correct.
Right?
It would be worth more.
Absolutely.
And so don't think that that's not factoring into free agents, or when I say free agents, players that are eligible for extensions that are negotiating with their teams, their agents, not the players.
Yep.
That's got to enter into the minds of agents.
And take this into consideration, Grant. I don't know how many of these type of guys, because a lot of them signed this summer. That usually doesn't affect your LeBron, your KD, Steph. Those guys would still probably get the max even if it went down 10%. It could be a negotiation, but most likely. But everyone else is definitely going to be affected. And if it's up in the air at a point, man, when you get the opportunity, you gotta take all that into consideration. I think the agents have to take into consideration as well. It's a good point.
Listen, I'm not keeping score here, but LeBron's getting killed by many on a lot of different platforms.
Right.
Right now, I don't think it's pleasant to be LeBron James. I don't want to speak for LeBron. He is certainly eloquent in the way he conducts himself and has over the years.
Right.
But in this particular case, I think he stepped out of bounds big time. That's my opinion.
Well, the big out of bounds thing is it's global. Speaking when it's in your backyard, that's totally different. Most times we know exactly what's going on in our backyard, or we have a better idea. But this global thing is different. And you pair with that, Grant, Nike, you pair with that all the shoe money and the different things. And as unfortunate as it is, that I'm sure that was taken into consideration.
The other big story here, and when I mean big story, with China or without China, the NBA is a global business and it's going to be just fine.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Are they better with the infusion of revenue from a country as large and as basketball crazy as China? Well, of course, we know that. Is the NBA going to collapse and fall on their face if, for whatever reason, this turns south and gets uglier and uglier? No, the NBA is just going to be fine.
Right.
Okay, that's the big story.
Salaries and salary caps would change.
Would change.
You would still make more than you ever would in your life.
Correct.
It's going to be a little less, though. That is the nature of what it is. I mean, now they're starting a basketball – the NBA is starting a basketball league in Africa. That was just announced. So is it still a global game? Yes, it is a global game. As we just touched India and different places, this is just one that could get taken away, and some things have been put on hold. Tencent, $1.5 billion has been put on hold.
All right, 339-1140-800-920-1140. And again, I'm going to bring this up because you just mentioned a league in
Africa.
Africa.
Yes, sir.
I'm saying this because I know it's going to become an issue. I don't want to say there are two ways, but if you're going to go and expand your league globally, which the NBA has done a marvelous job of.
Yes, they have.
Okay. The laws of this country and what we believe in all likelihood, will not be what it's like in the leagues that you want to start abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to be a sports league, are you going to ignore those type of beliefs? I mean, we talk about Nigeria.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And many other countries in Africa and their laws as it relates to same-sex, you know, sexual activity.
Yeah.
Imprisonment of multiple years,
yeah.
10, 15, 20 years, and I can go on and on.
Yeah.
But we know what we believe in the league. The NBA just went through this with the All-Star game in Charlotte,
right,
as it related to transgender and the North Carolina. Okay.
And, yep.
All right. So you can't have it both ways. Here, the point I'm trying to make is this. Your league is based in the United States of America, and they've done an incredible job going globally.
Yep.
Amazing job.
Since 1992.
Amazing. And yep. You and I have been blessed to experience that.
Right.
It's been unbelievable.
Oh, no doubt.
But, so, you can't have it both ways. In other words, if you're going to go and start leagues in Africa and possibly India, we were in India last week and Adam Silver said that the goal would be in 5 years, and then you cannot try to change other countries' political system. Can you? I mean, right?
No, you cannot. But this is where... How did Apple, how did Microsoft, how did these other countries navigate those waters when...
Very simple.
Stay out of the political aspect.
It's called the almighty dollar. That's how they did it.
Yeah.
They're making money for their shareholders.
Right.
The NBA is making money for their owners. And anyone that says otherwise is being naive. I mean, it's about the almighty dollar.
Absolutely.
So where do you stop talking? At what point do you sell your soul for the almighty dollar? I mean, because you can't change the world.
No, you cannot.
And nor should I shouldn't say you shouldn't try to change the world. But I mean, you know where I'm going with this. This is
there's humanitarian issues everywhere, and that's where the conversation comes from.
There are humanitarian issues in this country.
Yes, there are, Grant. I mean, there was a lady that was just shot through her window.
Absolutely.
So that's a whole nother.
And the homeless all over the United States. We can go on and on with that.
Seattle, it's not, underneath the freeways
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. It's not just abroad. It's here in this country, too.
It's, you know, sports changes so many things. And
yes.
I use Muhammad Ali as an example of, you know, giving up so much. And then the Colin Kaepernick's and all the different things. Oddly enough, here comes sports again. What will it change?
Right.
How will it change it? Right now, it doesn't feel good. You know what I'm saying? It's a tough time. What will come from that? We don't know. We this is going to be what this is new territory.
We saw it with in the NBA with Omri Caspi, Israeli, and I forgot the player's name from Iran, but you know and it was a small bridge that was or the gap was bridged, and this is such a difficult topic to talk about, but because of what happened last week with the tweet of Daryl Morey, based on what happened in China with no press conferences with the players or coaches, and now the greatest player that this league has, the number one name, is getting attacked. And you know what? I would say I understand it. I get it. Some of the things he said made me raise my eyebrows. As a sports league, forget about the NBA for a minute. As a sports league, I don't think anyone would say it's not advantageous and great to play abroad. I think it's great.
Oh,
Major,
yeah.
Listen, the Yankees and Red Sox played in London this year.
Yeah.
The NBA goes global. All right, the NFL, all right, has gone to Mexico City. They've actually played in China before as well. The NHL went over to Japan. I mean, we can go on and on. The world is getting smaller and smaller, and leagues are broadening their horizons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's good. I think that's good because you just said a lot of times sports can kind of bridge that gap.
And
so I don't look at this as, gee, we should stop playing abroad at all. I just think that you need to know as we move on with social media and the world becoming smaller and smaller, these issues are going to continue to surface.
Napes, from Enes Kanter's recent tweet to his problems with his family in Turkey, from something that I didn't know, Peja and Vladi, their countries at one time were in war for
That's
over
correct.
500 years. There was, but they came together on a team, to Jackie Robinson integrating into baseball and the things that he had to deal with. And that was a tipping and turning point for our country and social issues and different things. There are so many times that sports comes into play. And a lot of times, Grant, it's truly uncomfortable, but it is something that in this particular instance, will we look back maybe after our lifetime, during our lifetime, and say, wow, remember when that happened?
Enes Kanter, NBA player.
Yes.
After LeBron James made his comments, tweeted this for those that did not see this. All right. Haven't seen or talked to my family 5 years. Jailed my dad. My siblings can't find jobs. Revoked my passport. International arrest warrant. My family can't leave the country. Got death threats every day. Got attacked, harassed. Tried to kidnap me in Indonesia, and then in capital letters, freedom is not free. So, again, I'm going to go back to my initial statement. I think the best thing for the NBA right now, if I'm going to try to keep this to sports, is the NBA to start their season, simmer down, leave China for those that really are responsible for whatever you want to deal with, and that means the higher-ups, that means the commissioner of the league, that means Yao Ming, that means... Go play the games, okay? Start your year and try to avoid putting, I don't want to say fuel on the fire. I don't think you should give up your principles for what you believe in any way, shape, or form. I'm not saying that. But you just put this this league right now, with what's gone on, is in an absolute no-win situation. You said LeBron. LeBron would have gotten killed
either
if
way.
He had said no comment.
Yeah.
Now he's getting killed for speaking on it.
Same
right?
way Steve Kerr got killed for saying no comment, and then he came back and spoke, and when he spoke the second time, he still got killed.
Right. There's no win.
You know what? And when I look at this, Grant, you know what I say? Welcome to politics. Because that's what this is in a huge way. You may know certain things. Politics is different.
Yeah. Well, I'll go back to my initial comment from last week when this story broke.
Mm-hmm.
This is the United States, and our values and our beliefs are not necessarily shared in other areas of the world.
No doubt.
And you can either accept that or not accept that, or you can try to change it. And if you are powerful enough, if you have the drive to try to change it, run for office, do what you have to do, join a foundation, whatever. But that's the reality. And so I think this is going to now get a little bit steeper with the magnitude of the situation. In other words, this isn't going to go away anytime soon. But in a year or two, and I really mean that, year or two, I think things will simmer down and I think everything will be okay. I hope so anyway.
Oh, no doubt. And to give you the global scale, Grant, it took the NBA starting to travel globally for them to start making a mark, where people started saying, you know what, the NBA is going to take over the NFL. But because the NFL is so huge right here, this may be where you're at for the NBA, with the exception of your Africa and different places, because the China thing, you just don't know.
And is this a difficult topic to talk about? Yes. You
it
know
is.
Why? Because we're on live radio.
Right.
And as I sit here and ad-lib everything I do, just like you,
yes,
I
got
to be careful that I'm not putting out the wrong message here. All right. And so I'm trying to be very careful with what I'm saying.
I agree.
Because, hey, listen. If you think I'm sitting in a studio in Sacramento and telling the people of other countries around the world what they should and should not do with their lives,
Can't
I'm not going
it.
There. That's
Can't
not my
it.
Job. That's not what I do in my private life, maybe, but not in my public life. Not going there.
No doubt.
No.
Yeah. And we've been blessed to go around and see
absolutely.
A lot.
And we've been treated like, no pun intended, kings.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And that's where the respect, when you go into somebody else's house, and that we talked about when this first happened. It's a difficult situation. And
I'll tell you what else is a difficult situation. That is the officiating in the NFL, which has become a flat-out embarrassment. Mike Pereira from the NFL on Fox later in the show. But what happened last night in Green Bay is a travesty. The NFL officials continue to get this wrong and wrong, and I consider myself pro-official. I recognize what an impossible job they have, but the NFL officials have become
an embarrassing situation, in my opinion, for the league. We'll be right back. Don't forget Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox. Speaking of the NFL, what a travesty last night. What an absolute embarrassment and disgrace for the NFL and the way that game was called. And, of course, we seem to talk about this more and more. But last night on Monday Night Football, when you have, to his credit, Booger McFarland, you know, criticizing the officiating and not shying away from it, despite that ESPN is a huge partner of the NFL. He got a lot of respect from me on that. A good job there by Booger McFarland. But last night was an embarrassment.
Napes, do you think it is the refs, since they're criticized more, holding on to their whistles? Do you think it is the ability of frame-by-frame instant replay, since everyone wanted it, now you can go back and take a look at it?
I do.
Because that's as you look at it, you know what? He sold it. How did he sell it? He threw his head back. And by throwing his head back, my bad. By throwing his head back, sorry, everybody. DD just almost cranked one out of here, which would have gave Napes a 3-2 lead. But he's out of there. Cole gets out of the inning. Anyway, he threw his head back, Napes, and he sold it. And that happens. Now, I will say this. I'm seeing more times than not, we do this with NBA officials, and we're live on air, and I'm like, that didn't look like a foul. We'll go back and watch it, and they were correct. So obviously, they're calling what their eyes see. And many times now with NFL referees, we're not necessarily getting all of that all the time. We're looking, and we actually see something different when we go back and look at the instant replay.
All right, let's get to some phone calls, and it's Jesse. Hi, Jesse. Jesse, what's going on? Jesse's not there. Let's get to William. William, you're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
We haven't.
There we go.
There you go, William.
You got it?
Yeah, you're on, William.
Just a couple quick things. One, the NBA is going to have to. I mean, the rabbit's been pulled from that, so they're going to have to do something one way or the other, make a stand or not. China's had issues for a long, long time, and it's either that or they're going to look like they're doing it just for the money, and everybody else is going to call them out like the other sports, and the NBA's always been up front about stuff until this thing popped up. So the other thing was with the 49ers, if they don't have injuries on defense, this team's not changing. This team's like the 2011 defense. They're going to play everybody either close or going to win a lot of games, and they're going to be licking their chops for some of these teams that don't have very good offensive lines. And, I mean, their offense is going to be it is what it is. Even if when they had Alex Smith, their defense was just killing teams, and it's going to stay that way. They're not going to change on defense unless they have injuries. So,
Well, you know what they did back then? And even though they didn't win a Super Bowl, that era you're talking about, they had the best linebackers in football with Patrick when they had Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman. Here was their recipe for success back then. They ran the football. They ran the ball, and they stopped the run. And no one could run on the 49ers, and they would run in between the tackles, and they would maul you to death. And that and the difference with this 49ers defense is they can now knock your quarterback down pretty much with just four-man rush.
Exactly. And you got Quan Alexander's huge pick.
I agree with that one. Oh, boy.
Thanks for the call. The 49ers defense, I think right now, is as good as any in football. I would actually put them ahead of the Bears' defense right now. I think their defense is that good.
I would agree, Grant, with the four-man rush that allows you on the back end to add extra men if you got some dynamic guys on the outside at the wide receiver or tight end position or even coming out of the backfield. And he just mentioned Quan Alexander. First 49er game I saw this year, I think it was the second game because he got kicked out of the first. He was flashing all over the place. Not to mention you got Bosa and these guys on the line that are just they are getting to the quarterback. And if that's going to be the case, and the staple is going to be on the defensive end, defensive side of the ball, he just made a valid point. You are going to be in ball games. Now it's just going to be up to, is it going to be Breida? Is it going to be Kittles? Are you going to get something from Jimmy G? And if they do that, watch out.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Coming up at 4 o'clock. Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox. He was in Minnesota for the Vikings' domination over the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll talk to him about that and some other subjects regarding the NFL at 4 o'clock. Also coming up on the show today, we'll preview the Milwaukee Bucks, the team that last year looked like they were as good as any team in the NBA, yet they lost to Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then Mike Pereira at 6 o'clock, rules analyst at Fox Sports. So we got all of that, and of course your phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Kings last night looked good. De'Aaron Fox will not play tomorrow. I don't believe there's any concern moving forward with him, but he will not play against the or the team from Melbourne tomorrow night. But I don't believe there's any issues moving forward as the game a week from tomorrow is in Phoenix.
And, you know, a good look. Listen, I know the game wasn't on television. Hopefully you got to listen to it right here with the G-Man, which was and Grant. But this was a Utah Jazz team that they started their guys. They played them a fair share of minutes. You had Donovan Mitchell for roughly 30 minutes. Conley was 25. You had Bojan Bogdanovich, 26, off the bench. Joe Ingles gave you 20. Royce O'Neal gave you 20. So you got a good dose of what this team is going to be. Now, might there be some tweaks and they do some different things? Yeah, but I liked what I saw from the Kings. When they were mano-a-mano facing up starters versus starters, I thought the Kings responded and they did some really creative things. I thought on the pick and roll, they were screening Gobert after the pick and roll so the guard could get down the lane and he couldn't affect a lot of really, really solid things. Defensively, the Kings are a work in progress, but I love the aggressiveness and the willingness to get after it on the defensive end and figure out how to stop teams.
All right, let's get to Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, glad we're talking Kings. That's why I called. I just wanted to comment on got a stream of the game last night, and I had to say, man, they just dominated that, especially the first half. I mean, the rebounding, that's the one thing that jumped off to me, and I just wanted to see what you guys thought, some of the things that jumped out to you. I mean,
I thought I thought Marvin Bagley's play against Rudy Gobert was the one thing that stands out. He completely outplayed Rudy Gobert in that game last night. Rudy Gobert had no answer for Marvin Bagley. I thought Marvin played extremely confident, running the floor, getting back on defense. And, Doug, you know what else? And we'll get to Bill in a second here to follow up, but I love the way he rebounded last night.
Yes, and at the half, Kings were up, you're right, 22-19 on the backboard, and the bench outscored the Utah bench 23-12. Starters only outscored the Utah starters by 55-52. So you are right. Another area is Kings continue. If you're going to have 16 assists, and that was in the first half, Grant, that is really, really solid. You are on pace for 30 assists or a little over if you do that. And another area, Grant, 13 for 15 from the free throw line in the first half. Those are all quality stats, and that's how you get 78 points.
Anything else, Bill?
Yeah, no, I just want to say a road game like that in Utah is a dominant defensive team. You know, I just want to ask you guys, I mean, comparing to football preseason, I mean, I know this is NBA preseason, but it seemed like they were playing the starters a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty good indication of what we got to see.
Well, I think last night Luke Walton used that as his dress rehearsal.
I agree. And I thought, to be honest with you, Quinn Snyder did a little bit too.
He did.
Now, is it going to be, to the caller's point, Grant, is it going to be a little vanilla? Yeah, it's going to, you know, you're not going to give everything, but the point is you're playing starters versus starters
right.
for a boatload of minutes. And I agree. I was, when I'm watching the game, I'm like, okay, all I need is the eye test. And I'm saying Kings can compete.
And one more thing, just Fox hits that gear, and it's scary. When he gets in that second gear, it just
he's in a class by himself.
No one can touch him.
Nope. Thank you,
Bill.
All right,
guys, I'm fired up. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Good job there. Let's get to Pat. Hello, Pat.
Hey, how's it going, Doug and Grant? Love your show, first-time caller. I just wanted to comment on the referees and the whole NFL thing. I just wanted to say, why haven't all NFL calls gotten to the point where, you know, in the NFC Championship game where the Saints got – pretty much screwed out of, you know, going to the Super Bowl a few years ago. Why haven't we got to the point where all NFL calls haven't gotten to the point where they have been reviewed.
Because the games can't go 5 hours. That's why.
And you know what?
We're already watching a three-hour game.
It doesn't matter. You have doubleheaders. You can't. The games can't do that. The NFL cannot. Their games are already going over their windows. They can't. They can't. They can't keep on getting the game longer and longer and longer. They just can't.
His point is what Bill Belichick offered up is the fact
terrible
that
connection.
For them to be able to review all calls. Grant, if the call is made, I'm asking this, if the call is made in real time and it automatically, you automatically have people that are for every single game, they're watching the game live right there. As soon as the call is made, they review it and they give instant feedback. That's going to take too long, you think?
I don't. Every time I hear instant feedback, I never see it. I deal with this with the NBA. I'm dealing with it now in the NFL with phone calls and questions like yours. When's the last time you've ever seen a call go that quickly? It's never that quickly.
Yeah,
the official's
right.
Got to walk over, put his head in the mouth. Or if there's a new system where the referee on the field stays on the field and someone up above just talks
to
his ear, maybe that works. But you can't keep on having the game go longer and longer and longer.
Otherwise, Grant, listen, there's a human factor of air. The air is on the players as well. And the problem is, while we were watching those airs, we started complaining to the point where instant replay slowly came into life. And now we're here going, now it's not enough.
Here's the biggest problem. What happened last night was the official called penalties where he didn't see it correctly.
Yes, okay? He did not.
He didn't see it correctly. And I know you could say that for a lot of calls when there are mistakes are made. But hands to the face and hands on the shoulder pad is not an acceptable mistake, in my opinion, by an NFL ref. We'll be right back. All right, we are moving right along. Charles Davis, NFL on Fox, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, Charles Davis in about 12 minutes. Let's get to Matt. Hello, Matt.
How's it going, Grant?
What's up, Matt?
Doug, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just want to talk about the refs. I'm a Raider fan, and you could say the refs been making bad calls since the tuck rule. Just kind of part of football. Detroit had plenty of time to close that game out, but they couldn't get into the end zone.
Hey, the bottom line is you can't excuse the officiating in the NFL this year. Forget about the tuck rule. We're talking about 2019. The officiating this year, I think most people that are involved with the sport acknowledge that it's as bad as it's been maybe ever.
It is. But it's just part of human error. I mean, it is what it is.
No, there's a big. You see, what you're missing out here is you're missing out the bigger thing. A lot of the older referees, a lot of the officials have retired. There are a lot of officials that are on NFL fields right now that have 4 years experience or less. That's just not acceptable. There are too many officials refereeing and officiating NFL games that don't have the necessary experience like many of us think that they should have. It's a bigger issue. There's a lot more to this than meets the eye. There are a lot of officials that have retired, that have stepped down, and it has really hurt the league.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, my pleasure.
You know what they need to do, Grant? They need to, and I don't know if they do this, so you can tell me, but I do know since being around you and learning about umpiring in NHL, Major League Baseball, is you have to be a certain percentage of correct calls and different things, correct, for you to keep your status. The NBA, they go back and forth over, and those are the refs that move on. If you are,
and they're full time,
That's another thing. I understand that the football season is shorter, but you're making enough money to employ referees for
that's correct
full time, which would change it. Schooling, a lot of different things. If you want the best of the best, because you want to deliver the best product, make sure you got the best referees.
Yeah, you don't have coaches working part time in the NFL. You don't have players. I mean, you know, the reality is it's a full time job. Let's stop with the nonsense.
Yeah, I would agree. They have to put a better product out there, because you can't have these type of calls. Especially, listen, we talk about the NBA, and it used to be two refs. Now they have three refs. They've considered, and I always said, put one on each corner. There's referees everywhere out there on the NFL field. You shouldn't miss this stuff.
All right, 339-1140, 800 920-1140. Again, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. We're talking a lot about the NFL. Charles Davis in about 10 minutes from the NFL on Fox. We've got the Kings who play tomorrow. No De'Aaron Fox. Not any reason to worry as we get ready for the season opener a week from Wednesday. The Kings need to get through tomorrow without any injuries. It would not shock me. I'm not coaching a team, but it would not shock me to see the reserves play a lot of minutes tomorrow.
Yeah, I would think so, especially with the, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but with a lesser of an opponent. Can a team like that come beat you? It's happened before. The point is you want to get guys like on your bench, Kyle Guy, Wynjen Gabriel.
Yeah.
You're going to see players like that.
You know what a shame? It's a shame that Harry Giles isn't ready to play because it would be great to give him a 20 to 25-minute run tomorrow.
Yep, and what you want to see is how does he respond? How does your body react and those type of things? You are correct. And on top of the fact, not only giving a player minutes, but putting them, showcasing them, putting them in a position to run things a little bit, kind of the same way we've seen the Miami Heat do with Bam Adebayo in the summer league. They allowed, now I'm not saying to that extent where he was bringing it up like a point guard, but the point was he was showcased to see what he could do.
All right, baseball update. They're in the top of the seventh, and Houston is still leading by the score of 2-0. Garrett Cole has thrown 101 pitches, so there's no question that he'll be coming out for the bottom of the seventh inning. But again, it is 2-0 in favor of Houston. Grant Napier and Doug Christie with you until 7 o'clock tomorrow. We will be out at the Golden 1 Center for the radio show from 3 to 6:30. Gary Gerald with all the action at 7 o'clock.
If you say 101 and there's no question, can you equate, you know, kind of give me an idea, 101 pitches would equate to an NBA player's minutes like what? Is there, can you equate that? Would it be like playing 40 minutes, 45 minutes?
Well, not every pitcher is the same.
Okay. Because
if you ask Justin Verlander, 100 pitches to him would be the equivalent of playing 20 minutes in a game, in an NBA game.
Really?
I mean, guys that... Everyone's different.
Okay.
Workload throughout the season. What is their average number of pitches that they've thrown? What's the most they've gone this year?
Okay.
You know, I mean, if Justin Verlander, I'll tell you right now, if it comes down to game six and the Astros are trailing 3-2 and it's a one-run game, they're going to let him go 125, 130 pitches.
Right. Would you, if you were a manager, would you ever, because I've seen Justin Verlander do this a couple of times, he comes back on 3 days rest.
I wouldn't.
Would you ever do that during the season just so that they could get their mind around what they might see in the postseason?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. All right. Just asking. Uh-oh.
All right. 3-3-9-11-40. Now the Astros are threatening in the seventh with runners on the corners and no out. So it may be a moot point for Garrett Cole because I personally think if Houston scores another run here, the game's over. I think the game's over anyway.
Well, depending on who you bring in. I mean, Cole has been dominant, and we've seen the Yankees get men on bases with Cole in the game. You bring
the way
in
this,
a reliever.
This series has gone exactly the way I thought it would. I thought the Yankees would win game one. I thought that the Houston would win game two and three without the games even being played. I think New York will win the next two games, and then it comes down, can you beat Verlander or Cole?
In game six and seven.
That's what it boils down to. And if you're New York and you don't go home, if you don't go back to Houston with the lead in the series, you have no chance. You're not beating Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole on the road. You're not doing it. It's not happening.
Yeah. Are you surprised how Washington's dominating over
there? I am surprised.
That is
I'm not
dominant.
Surprised that they're up 3-0 as much as I'm surprised with how they've done it.
Right. They've just dominated the series, and that speaks volumes.
You know what I would do right now if I were Aaron Boone? He's bringing in Zach Britton. I would bring Aroldis Chapman in right now. You cannot allow Houston to score any runs. He's your best strikeout pitcher. There are runners at first and third and no out. You need to prevent the Houston Astros from scoring, and he's the guy of anyone on your staff that can strike out guys. I don't worry about saving him for a possible lead. You may never have the lead. You need to bring it. You need to put the fire out right now.
That's an interesting concept because what you're saying is if you're going to come back, when you come back, you're probably going to be the bottom of whatever it is. You're going to hit a dinger. The game is over.
And then you got Zach Britton you can close the game with. Or you got Chad Green you can, or whoever they have who haven't pitched yet.
Look at the big brain on Napes,
well,
y'all.
No, I'm just saying. If
I see you.
You have first and third and no out.
You're right.
So
get out of the inning.
Right. Now, they're going to have the infield in. They're bringing Zach Britton in. He's a lefty.
Okay.
Forget about that. Bring in your strikeout pitcher and let him try to mow down the lineup. That's what you do.
I like your mindset.
All right, Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox, next.